Welcome in, everyone, and thank you for listening to the 287th ever episode of the Missouri Sports Podcast, brought to you by 106 Apparel, and recording from the MSP studio in beautiful Springfield, Missouri. I'm one of your hosts, Cameron Albert, alongside my good friend and fellow Mizzou fan, Kyle DeVries. How are you doing today, Kyle?
I'm doing great, Cameron. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. We're going to hopefully wrap up recording here in time to watch Mizzou basketball.
Are you getting like excited about that?
Oh, or last game of the season.
Dare I say, hopefully?
Well,
no, we want them to win now.
Yeah.
We want them to run through, make a NCAA tournament.
Yeah. March miracle.
Yeah.
It would be.
Beyond a miracle.
Yeah. We'll get to that later. Although I did want to ask you about something that it's a little bit closer to home. I heard a rumor that maybe Konzo Martin could be returning to Springfield. Is that actually possible?
Well, let me give some context here to the listeners. You're referencing the Missouri State basketball job has opened. They fired their coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you're talking about a reunion for Konzo Martin. I think that seems very, very unlikely.
Okay.
And I don't see that happening. But I guess you never know.
I saw an actual article,
yeah,
like speculating.
That would be the most insane thing ever, which at this point probably means it'll happen since I'm publicly saying that. But I mean, what's Konzo up to? He's not coaching right now, is he?
Last I knew,
we would know.
He started a podcast. Don't know how that's going.
Yeah, he's doing some like motivational speaking type stuff.
Well, that's what he probably should be doing.
Yes. I think he's, by all accounts, he's very good at that.
I believe that.
Yeah.
I would be absolutely shocked if he got back into coaching, especially at Missouri State.
Yeah. Yeah, it would take special circumstances for it to make sense, in my opinion, for him to even consider it.
I have heard their top target is, I think his name's Ben McCollum at Northwest Missouri State.
Yeah, yeah.
He's been killing it there.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah. Kind of thought he was going to make the jump for a while. Never has.
This would be a kind of maybe like a low stakes jump,
yeah,
for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, makes sense to me. So what else are we going to talk about this week? We're going to talk about the SEC tournament, basketball tournament. We're going to talk about the transfer portal. We're going to talk about the football spring game coming up, actually the winter game. And before we do all of that, don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, leave us a review wherever you listen to us. And of course, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Missouri Sports Pod. So, Missouri basketball officially finishes the regular season with a record of 8-23, securing the 14 seed in the SEC basketball tournament.
Their last win was, can you think of it off the top of your head?
I'm looking at it.
Central Arkansas in December.
December 30th.
So they haven't won in 2024.
Wow.
They probably won't until October, November.
Sheesh. Yeah. The first week of November 2024 is probably going to be the first opportunity to see. Well, you never know what will happen tonight. They play Georgia tonight in the opening round of the SEC tournament. Georgia, 16-15 on the season, 6-12 in SEC play. They got the 11 seed. Missouri was locked into the 14 seed for a while because, you know, no conference wins will do that to you. And I don't know. It's like at this point, if they would have beat LSU on the road, I would have been maybe a little bit disappointed for the only win. Like you miss the historic no win conference season by winning a meaningless road game.
Yeah.
Like you're not even going to do it. But we didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost something like, well, now I just want this season to be memorable. Like, it's been horrible.
Yeah.
Like I've never been so disconnected from college basketball in general. Like I've just been like, I don't even want to watch college basketball. This season's going so bad.
We're gonna have good insight for the SEC tournament.
Yeah, exactly. And it's I mean, we have watched some, unfortunately, but I don't know where I was going with that.
You've never been more disconnected. So like the history of
I would probably have no reason to remember this season if we'd won a game or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, we'll remember it now for sure.
Yeah, I watched.
It's in the history books.
I watched all the way till the end. I just wanted to be witnessing history. 0-18 in SEC play. Truly remarkable. You, according to KenPom, you have to be the most unlucky team in the country to pull something like that off. Mm-hmm. Of course, against LSU, Sean East scored 26 points.
That's what he does.
Seventh game in a row, scoring 20-plus, I believe, to finish the season. Maybe he will continue that. Nick Honor against LSU, 2-for-10 from three.
Keep shooting, buddy.
let's take a look at Georgia real quick. Of course, we'll already know what happens by the time most people are listening to this, but Georgia 93rd in KenPom, so top 100 team, you know, resume building win potentially for Missouri. If Missouri were to beat Georgia.
Resume building, is that what you said?
Yes.
Resume for getting that next big job.
Next big job?
The job of playing in the, what's like the lowest postseason tournament?
There's a tournament called the CBI.
CBI, oh yeah.
If Missouri wins, they'll play Florida. If they were to beat Florida, they would play Alabama.
Well, I don't think we're going to get that far.
Missouri could beat Georgia. Don't you think? It's possible. on the other side of the bracket, actually right now, Vanderbilt and Arkansas are playing. Producer Cameron, if you felt like giving us an update on Vanderbilt, Arkansas at any point, go for it.
Can do.
The SEC, all SEC teams were released by the coaches. No Missouri Tigers on first or second team. Do you think Sean East was snubbed?
Maybe a little bit.
But
I'm sorry, I just don't care.
Can't argue that much.
Yeah.
Yeah. 17 points per game, and
it's pretty good.
It's kind of unfair. In my opinion, it's a little bit unfair of the coaches in the SEC to constantly, like every press conference, every Mizzou opponent will go, oh, Sean East, you know, he's one of the best players in the conference. And then the coaches have the opportunity to follow that up with voting him first or second team all SEC, and they choose not to.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a, what else are you going to say about Missouri in those press conferences?
Yeah.
Gotta find something to, compliment them on.
Same as the announcers.
Yep.
The upside is if they lose to Georgia tonight, it's officially transfer portal season.
Yeah.
And what we've been seeing from mid-major teams that are bounced out of their conference tournaments is like the night that they lose, there's announcements being made that guys are hitting the portal. So that could be in short order for some Mizzou players. I also wanted to mention, talking about transfer portal, that Michigan plays tonight as well in the play-in round of the Big Ten tournament. So if they lose, then maybe, you know, we're just now waiting for portal announcements. That's what we're doing.
Never here. Never been salivating for transfer announcements.
I was looking at Michigan, by the way. Do you know who started one game for Michigan this year as a grad transfer? Played in several, but had one start. Who plays for Michigan as a grad transfer this year that's a name from the past?
Do they formerly play at Mizzou or something? Or
maybe something like that.
Oh, man. I have no idea.
Trey Jackson.
Oh, I totally knew that at some point before when I still cared.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Yeah, he played for Michigan this year.
Probably not very good.
No, they also only won 8 games this year.
I remember hearing that he transferred from Seton Hall to Michigan, mm-hmm. and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty good move for him.
It feels like...
He eventually got back to probably where he always wanted to go.
That's true, yeah. It feels like forever ago that he, like... I still can envision him, like, getting a block shot at one end and then finishing a dunk at the other end. And that was basically his entire Mizzou career.
And that was probably the highlight that he showed to all the schools. That's how he went to Michigan. He showed them that play.
Yeah. And yeah, weirdly, like Missouri played Seton Hall this year,
yeah,
but he was already gone. So yeah, we're looking for a Tarris Reed announcement. That would be nice. But we also got an announcement in the transfer portal that we were expecting and is exciting. We talked about him last week, but Javon Porter officially in the transfer portal after Lorenzo Romar was fired as the head coach at Pepperdine. Several Pepperdine players already entering the portal. But they actually won their first game of the conference tournament by like 60 points, right? That was them?
Yeah.
Like the day after he got fired, they played and won by like 60.
I couldn't remember at first if they won or lost, but I knew because I knew they were involved, but I think they did win.
Yeah, let me look that up. They beat Pacific 102-43.
At one point, I'm pretty sure I saw the score was like 38-2 in that game.
Pacific.
What's Pacific doing, man?
Pacific is winning. They're going 6-26 this year. 0-16 in the West Coast Conference.
Wow, imagine.
Yeah. They are 358th in KenPom.
That's down there.
That's like bottom five.
What are they ranking unluckiness, though?
they're probably pretty well. Yeah, 358, and yeah, they're probably average luck, honestly. Now I've seen some people on Twitter, and I'm putting too much stock into it. But if this is a real feeling in the Mizzou fan base, we got to knock it off. There's no reason to get negative about the idea of Javon Porter coming to Mizzou. Like, you know, I just see some stuff like, oh, that's just what we need, another Porter brother to come get hurt and not actually play.
Wow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah. It's a hot take, maybe.
That's, that seems a little silly to me.
What I'm looking at is this past week in the NBA, MPJ and Jonte played against each other.
Yeah.
Did a jersey swap.
Really cool.
Very wholesome moment. And you mentioned you think you saw he's going to like explore the draft process or, you know, the preliminary.
I did think I see that. I think I did see that where, you know, he's probably at that point where his numbers were good enough to get the attention of the NBA. You know, he's more Jonte than MPJ, I would say, like probably. Not as explosive, but at 6'11", he can shoot threes and, you know, he can really operate well anywhere on the court. Like, that's obviously attractive to the NBA. I don't think he's an NBA player yet, but maybe a year where he's proven it at the Power 5 level, and then maybe he's ready.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. That's the vision I'm selling myself anyway. That's the narrative I'm building in my own head.
Makes sense to me.
Like, he did what he had to do at the lower level and put up the numbers. Let him come to the SEC, show that he can still do it against better competition, and, you know, then go to the NBA.
Yeah, it does seem like at this point, that's who I'd put my money on, is that he's going to end up at Mizzou. But, you know, never know.
Yeah. Yep, I would like to see some local kids on the Mizzou squad moving forward. Let me get your prediction for the SEC tournament, though. Who's going to win the whole thing?
I'll say Kentucky. They've been kind of hot lately. Yeah. They've been scoring a lot of points, going like triple digits multiple times in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's such a. I mean, just I'm reflecting a little bit more on the whole season now at this point, but it's such a frustrating thing to see the SEC be this good.
I know.
And Mizzou just not just be isn't a part of it. It's so frustrating.
It's very weird.
Because you look at how many teams might end up in the NCAA tournament from the SEC and at the very top, too.
Yeah, you probably win like six SEC games and you're probably on the bubble.
Seriously. I don't know. I think I saw some clips of it was against Minnesota where it was like kind of came down to the end, or like back in November, December.
That seemed like a huge win at the time.
Yeah. And the caption on Twitter that I saw showing the like the final 30 seconds of that game was Missouri went 5-20. Missouri has gone 5-20 since this game. That was maybe a week ago. So
yeah, I mean, that was kind of like at that point in the season, we knew this was not last year's team, but They were volatile, almost in a good way, though, where they would, like, you know, they would have the droughts that they had throughout the entire season, but they would also then go on those huge runs where, you know, those kind of inconsistencies were a little bit annoying, but they would also lead to just, like, really exciting stretches and, like, that huge comeback against Minnesota and stuff like that. So, but they just obviously didn't keep that going throughout the whole year. They just kept the droughts and nothing else.
Yeah.
Nothing positive.
Yeah. And, like, unluckiness aside, I mean, we've got an overtime loss at home against South Carolina, and the so many games where it's like, yeah, they were in it, but weren't. It wasn't actually a close game at the end. That was such a weird phenomenon.
There were so few games that I felt like emotionally invested in because it was like, we're not winning.
Yeah,
with like 10 minutes left in the game, it's over.
Yeah, so like to go back and be like, okay, if we're a little more lucky, sometimes I like to go back and just flip some results and be like, okay, what could this team have been if things clicked a little bit better? I don't know. Still, you're not winning more than 5 games, it looks like, in conference play.
Ugh. Really bizarre year.
Yeah. We're ready to turn the page. I mean, we could keep talking about it, but
Sure could.
So you've got Kentucky winning the SEC tournament.
Over Tennessee, yeah.
Okay. The big upset, the 2 seed over the 1 seed. I'd like to see Kentucky Alabama in the semifinal. That'd be a good game. I think Auburn gets it done.
Okay.
That's my prediction. I'm not going to give you much analysis on it. I think, here's my analysis. Jahni Broome.
He's good.
Best player in the SEC.
He might be.
He carries him. That's what I'm going to say. Okay. Let's move on to football. There was an event maybe this past weekend with some recruits or potential prospects.
Yeah. Mizzou had a junior day, had a lot of guys on campus, but really just wanted to highlight a couple of guys that were kind of headlining the day. We talked about Jackson Cantwell last week. He was there, and that's obviously kind of the biggest guy of the day.
Literally.
Probably, yes. Offensive lineman from Nixa, Missouri, 5-star player, or I don't even know if he has, like, if they even have rankings yet in, like, recruiting services, but 100% will be a 5-star. And then they had another 4-star linebacker from Chicago named Christian Pierce that was there. But a lot of guys were there, and probably start familiarizing ourselves with some of those names this summer when we start talking about recruiting more and start watching those guys and what they do in the off season.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, the recruiting services, we're still a little ways out on some of these guys, so all those rankings and stuff will start to become a little bit more uniform. But it's kind of crazy that, I don't know, it's still like a long ways away for Cantwell, but I'm ready to get those juicy commits.
Oh, yeah.
I'm ready for those commitment announcements.
Mm-hmm.
We got one, though, actually. So we got a transfer commit in the form of former Notre Dame and Arizona State quarterback Drew Pine, which kind of came out of left field.
Yeah, it really did.
With like Sam Horn needing surgery and going to be out the whole season, it was kind of like, okay, well, we're going to need some sort of like stable backup to Brady Cook here.
Yeah.
And that's what we got, I think.
Yeah, it seems like a pretty good pickup considering the circumstances and like the time of year. But just being a little desperate and going out and getting a guy with this pedigree seems pretty good. He doesn't have like a ton of game experience, but you know, being good enough to be recruited by Notre Dame and then going to Arizona State, like that's he's got some talent.
Yeah, so he only has one season where he got a lot of use. And in 2022 at Notre Dame, he led them in the games that he played. They went 8-2, and he threw for over 2,000 yards, 22 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 65% completion percentage. Playing for Notre Dame, doing that. I saw some chatter about like Notre Dame won those games despite him, and he was kind of able to have decent numbers because it's Notre Dame and you don't need to do a whole lot to look okay there. And obviously Notre Dame didn't feel like they needed to hold on to him. They were ready to move on to a different quarterback. So, yeah, I mean, that explains how he ends up taking the backup job at Mizzou.
Yeah.
But an interesting wrinkle with him is he somehow has 3 years of eligibility remaining. And he actually gave an interview where he was talking about like understanding that the plan is for him to back up Brady Cook this year. But then he very plainly said he expects to, at this point, he expects to be in the mix for a starting job in the future.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably not a great thing if he's winning the job next year, but I think he's a really solid backup. And yeah, I don't know how long he'll be at Missouri if he doesn't win the starting job, but for this season alone, that's a really good quality backup, I would say. And definitely not like a big arm guy, but good like touch passes, finesse, definitely can put the ball where he wants it to go.
Yeah, I don't think... like if you have Brady Cook as the starter and Sam Horn as the clear number two, then there's actually, you know, obviously there's going to be like, if something happened where Sam Horn had to come into a game, there would be a little bit of excitement around it. That's probably not going to be the case anymore.
No.
But I still feel like, I mean, this is a better situation than when Jack Abraham was the backup.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that was never going to work.
So, yeah, this feels like a step up from that, but not quite how we would feel if the backup was Sam Horn, even though he's still very much a question mark. Yeah, the 3 years of eligibility thing is very interesting considering his first year at Notre Dame was 2020.
Yeah, well, what did you say to me earlier? He's thrown a pass in three different seasons.
Yes, at Notre Dame and a fourth at Arizona State.
And still has 3 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
Yeah, COVID really messed everything up.
Like every time I think that we're like past the messiest part of all that, then something like this happens.
No, here's this 27-year-old who has, you know, his entire career ahead of him.
Exactly.
Like how long was COVID? How many seasons did that account for?
And I don't know, like, and there was a time there where like the NCAA was just granting anything that came across their desk. Mm-hmm. So it was like, I don't even know the reality of the situation here, but you have your COVID year and then like a regular red shirt and then maybe a medical red shirt on top of that or something. I think sometimes if you just say to the NCAA, hey, can I just get another year? There was a time there where they were just like, yeah, sure.
Yeah, whatever, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, somehow, some way, he has a lot of eligibility remaining. Will we see him leading the offensive second unit in the winter game?
I don't think so. I think he's enrolling in the summer.
Oh, well.
I don't know who's even going to be playing quarterback. Let's see. Well, Brady Cook will be playing, and then... Yes. Is Aiden Glover, is he a spring enrollee?
Yeah, I think so.
Tommy Locke? Is Tommy Locke QB2 right now?
Potentially. Let me look. Who else could it be?
Tommy Locke surgery?
It's going to be one of those two. Yeah. So, yeah.
Exciting stuff.
Spring game coming right up. Last year, it was closed door practice basically because of weather.
Yeah, I think it was like too cold or rainy or something, which is I guess what you get for doing it this early.
I guess so I guess what we expect to see is maybe like the first string offense versus the second string defense and then vice versa.
I know in the past too they've done like I'm expecting to like watch a scrimmage and it's like just literal drills. So I don't know what the format is this year, but I think it's supposed to be more of an actual scrimmage.
They've done like red zone, like they just do like red zone scrimmage basically sometimes. So I don't know. I'll take whatever we can get at this point. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I thought we could talk about like what we're going to be looking for in the spring game and maybe some position battles. I do have a correction to make based on something I said last week. We were talking about the offensive line and then as soon as we ended our recording, I saw where Cameron Johnson had actually spoke to the media and had clarified a little bit that he will be playing left guard this upcoming season, which he explained is his more natural position, where he played almost all of his snaps at Houston. And so he was happy to be moving back to left guard.
Yeah, because that was kind of a thing last year was, you know, he came to Missouri thinking that he was going to battle for the center position. Sounds like he honestly didn't really do very well in practices and stuff. Like Connor Tolleson just like quickly and easily won the job. And then he played right guard and had some penalty issues and stuff early, but kind of ended up settling in. But mm-hmm. I'm happy to see him go back to left guard because I think that he'll be really, really solid there. And then Reichert will probably play, or at least he will be battling for right guard.
Right. So that's what another thing that Johnson talked about is, well, then who maybe fills that void at right guard? And he mentioned Logan Reichert. He also mentioned Mitchell Walters, Curtis Piegler, and Tristan Wilson. So basically, that's everybody else who might be contributing on the offensive line, basically.
Yeah, and I feel like in the past, they've under like Drinkwitz, they've talked about just like best five. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they'll still take that approach. I mean, it feels like even, I mean, at the Power 5 level, especially the NFL level, but in the SEC, I feel like there are very different players, like tackles and guards are very different builds. And I feel like you usually don't want like a prototypical tackle playing guard and vice versa. But so I don't know how they'll approach the guard position, but it seems like we would want Reichert to probably just win that job.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to say.
I feel like I think Tristan Wilson is a promising player too. I think he might have a chance to win the left guard spot after Cameron Johnson graduates.
So maybe we'll learn a little bit more about that in the spring game. What other position battles or groups are you interested in?
Yeah, I think there's two in particular, but I think I'm curious to see how running back goes. You know, not necessarily because it's a question mark personnel wise, but it just because it's somebody that's not Cody Schrader.
Yeah,
and so you know we'll see Nate Noel, we'll see
Marcus Carroll,
who you know I think they're kind of a nice little thunder and lightning duo there. You know, Noel's probably going to be more the speed guy, the pass catcher. Carroll's definitely more of the ground and pound kind of guy. So I really don't think we'll see a dominant, you know, share percentage or carry percentage like we saw from Schrader. Mm-hmm. I don't think we would want to see that in the season, but definitely in the spring game, it'll be fun to see both of those guys.
Yeah, and then I had the running back position down as one to watch as well. Those two guys, plus the returners, Jamal Roberts and Tavoris Jones. Give me your way too early prediction. Rank those four guys most to least carries this season.
Carries, or I would definitely say Marcus Carroll first. Mm-hmm. Noel second, probably. And I just don't really know after that. Like, I feel like Tavoris Jones, like, I don't know anything about him, like his personal life or how he feels about being at Mizzou or anything like that. But he's 100% on the trajectory of a guy who is going to see how he does in the spring. And if he's not, doesn't feel like he's, you know, at the top of the depth chart, he's probably going to look for other opportunities. Like, we're going to get a whole other wave of guys transferring after the spring practices because, you know, they're kind of doing the, you know, winter workouts and stuff now, and they'll kind of get a clearer picture of where they stand in the depth chart after the spring. And so, you know, I think Tavoris Jones is a guy with good pedigree and he's talented and just hasn't got a shot. It's felt like forever. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't seen his time come. And if he still feels like that's not going to happen, then in which they clearly went out and got two transfers.
Yeah.
So it just doesn't look great for Tavoris Jones right now. So I'd probably just put Roberts third, and hopefully Tavoris Jones is still playing for us come the fall, but you just never know.
Yeah, it's interesting when you think about it, and with NIL and stuff, it's a different ball game because you never know when guys are willing to just chill if the NIL is taking care of them, you know? And it feels like Missouri has never had the luxury of, you know, like Alabama does. Obviously, you can't compare yourself to Alabama, but those blue blood programs will have four running backs that are like 4 or 5 star guys that they recruited to come be the guy, and then they just let them figure it out. And it's not like what we're used to at Missouri is you've got 2 guys maybe battling for the job, and then you've got clearly backups that are not really in fans' minds competing for the starting job. And it's weird for Missouri to be, for us to be sitting here looking at 4 guys that are potentially that type of player that would be seeing meaningful snaps in the SEC. There's still those guys like behind them that probably are non-factors, but that's what makes me think that Jones or Roberts maybe sees what's going on and
yeah.
exits.
Yeah, and also they have true freshman K1 Lacey coming in, who mm-hmm. honestly at this point I might say he has a better chance of seeing touches than Tavoris Jones, like just the way the things have gone. So yeah. That's just yet another name to factor into that room in the fall.
Yep, and so now we'll see if any developments in the spring and summer sort of like change that trajectory of yeah. how things have gone so far.
Yeah. So that it'll be interesting to see those like third and really obviously want to see Carroll and Noel, but maybe who's getting the third, who's the third guy up mm-hmm. and in the running back room. The other one, which for a different reason, I feel like I want to see is the defensive tackles specifically. We have a lot of defensive ends, but you know, the defensive tackles outside of Christian Williams, it's a little bit of a question mark. There's a lot of new names. There's a lot of guys who have been in the program for a couple of years and just haven't cracked the rotation yet. So just running through a few of these names, we've got Sterling Webb, who is a transfer that we got a few months ago, who is definitely a defensive tackle, and I more so than an end. Like he'll definitely be playing tackle, and I think he has a pretty good chance to start potentially alongside Christian Williams. But we've also got kind of names that maybe you haven't thought of in a while, Marquise Graciel and Jalen Marshall. And then even I wrote down Kyren Montgomery. I'm not sure even which position he's playing at this point, because I think he came in as a defensive end. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I think at first they were wanting him to put on some weight to maybe play tackle. But then he like tore his ACL, and so we just haven't heard from him in a while. But if he, you know, was in shape to play tackle, I think that's best case scenario.
Yeah, I also had written down Chris McClellan, the transfer from Florida.
Yep.
So,
yeah, I would say McClellan and Webb probably are the two guys that are going to play the most outside of Christian Williams. And then maybe we can get some good snaps too from the younger guys.
Yeah, I'm hoping that like through the spring and summer, specifically talking about the defensive line, I would like to be in a position where we're not just like, oh man, we need Winery to get here. Like I don't feel like we'll be thinking that. I feel like there's enough guys here that we'll feel solid about who's starting on the defensive line across the board. But if things don't go too well, then I get nervous anytime we're thinking like we need this freshman to come in
yeah.
and impact the game significantly. But I think we got enough guys here that won't necessarily happen.
Vanderbilt and Arkansas are tied at 58 with 8 minutes in the second half.
Wow. Let's go, Vandy.
Yeah. Vanderbilt, the only team lower than Missouri in the SEC in the net ranking.
Oh, wow.
So if they expanded the tournament field, Missouri would get in before Vanderbilt.
Wow. Hey, that's got to count for something.
Vanderbilt was up by 14 at the half.
Sheesh. Oof.
So don't think about that part, though.
Wow. Yep, go Vandy. Anything else spring game related? It's kind of nice like how many positions aren't up in the air too yeah. much. Like especially I'm thinking about the entire offensive side of the ball, just like besides running back, which we dissected pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, it always feels weird like being like, well, where's so-and-so? Oh, he's gone. Like yeah. he graduated. Like it's kind of weird like feeling like there's so many, you know, beloved players that are just like they've moved on to, you know, whether they graduated or went pro or transferred or whatever. And so the spring game is always a little bit weird. Like, okay, here's the new squad.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, we'll get a few more transfers and, you know, the freshmen will come in the summer and everything. But this is the nuts and the bolts of your team right here is the spring game. It's supposed to be better weather.
Yes.
This year.
So
I think I saw it's supposed to be like high, like mid-60s and sunny in Columbia.
Fingers crossed. We've got an outdoor spring game open to the fans, open to everyone.
Actual scrimmage.
Yeah, so we can really dissect everything. Oh, another thing to note is who will be handling field goal kicking duties.
Ooh.
That's going to be the big one where it's like the
Go ahead.
The first time somebody other than Harrison Meavis yes. trots out there to kick a field goal, it's going to be weird.
Yeah. Last year was the punt battle.
That's right.
I don't know if it's really going to be a battle this year, but coach will probably still say it will be.
Yeah. Yeah, the punt battle.
The Blake Craig era.
It's beginning. Okay.
Drew Lock to the Giants.
Oh, yeah.
Drew Lock to the Giants, Jordan Elliott to the 49ers.
Yeah, Drew Lock.
Some news we forgot.
Not going to get a starting job, most likely.
Hey, you can beat out Daniel Jones.
Yeah, I mean, they might draft somebody too, though.
Yeah.
Didn't the Giants pay Jones a bunch?
They did. Yeah. He's just awful, though.
Yeah. I don't know how any of that works, like... You give a bunch. The NFL is just constantly like giving people contracts and then cutting them like a week later. Yeah. So,
yeah, I mean that's they shouldn't have done that. And I think everybody except the Giants knew that was a mistake to give Daniel Jones that much money. And then he had a terrible year, and so Drew Lock's got an opportunity.
I guess so. There was a team. What was like the first? Oh, Minnesota. I was excited for that. There was like a little rumor that I saw on Twitter maybe of Drew Lock to Minnesota.
Yeah. And there was actually like, I saw literal like tweets saying Drew Lock to Minnesota and I thought it was real.
That would have been exciting.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. And you're like walking right into competing for the starting job there. But as you say, maybe it'll happen. I also like the idea of Mizzou quarterbacks just like making a bunch of money and never having to actually play in games.
That's a thing.
They're good at that.
Yeah. Long line of that.
Right. At least they're in the NFL. Okay. Well, I think that is probably it. Anything else? Oh, I don't have my names ready. Special thank you to our Patreon supporters at the $10 level and above. Britt Treese, Brian Smith, Ryan DeMore, Tristan, Ben Smith, Parker, Daddy JD, Tim Keens, Tyler Harsel, Brandon Groffler, Brandon Hanks, Matthew Tilly, Lewis Hernandez, and Joshua Jacobson. Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. We love you. You can find this podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can follow us on Twitter at Mizzou Sports Pod, and you can email us at MissouriSportsPod@gmail.com.
You can find our t-shirts and stickers on our online shop, MissouriSportsPod.BigCartel.com.
We thank everyone for listening. We will see you next week. After a win.